Welcome to this edition of Turnbuckle Trash, or should I name this one the Unprofessional Trash? Zane and I are going to be talking to two guys who have their own podcast called the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast, and we'll talk to them for quite a while, but we also talk to Chris Evans, Chris on the Mat. Welcome to this edition of the Unprofessional Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll tear your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out!
Oh my gosh, it's Turnbuckle Trash here with an invasion angle. We have been invaded.
By the
UPW podcast, the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast. On with Dave and I right now is Cody and Leo. I met one of you guys in Salt Lake at a DCW event. Who did I meet at DCW?
You met Leo. You met me. And
Leo.
Let's hope the invasion angle goes a little bit better than it did for WCW and ECW.
Isn't that the truth?
Well, hey, didn't Global Force invade Impact?
Well, that was kind of a botch. I'm not sure what all happened there.
We call that in the business a cluster, if you get my drift. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and we don't have to book David Arquette against Jeff Jarrett, so I think we're good.
That's hallelujah.
Yeah, we're going. So you guys host your own podcast, the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast, UPW. Tell us, Leo, tell us what made you guys decide to start a pod. How long have you been doing this for? How long have you been a wrestling fan?
So the pod was actually Cody's idea. Cody and I were, you know how you have like friends who like wrestling. We talk about wrestling all the time. And as cool as we think that wrestling is, it's still uncool in a lot of circles. And so we're kind of, that's what we geek about and stuff, right? And we were ramping up. We were going to go see Double or Nothing down in Vegas. And it was Cody's idea, like, well, let's start this podcast. And I was real iffy about it at first, just because there's so many out there, right? But we kind of got it going, Cody's idea. Name was Cody's idea, too, and started going about February. And we started enjoying it. Then we got some social media pages going, and those started to kind of kick off. And so we've been doing it since about February or so. And as far as wrestling fan, I personally been a wrestling fan since far back as I can remember, 3-4 years old, you know, doing moves on my dad and other little kids and getting in trouble over it, stuff like that. So,
Cody, Leo said something that's funny, and me and Dave joke about this all the time that, you know, I always run into a lot of closets. You know, like a couple months ago, I went on this work excursion, which the Green River Fishing, and it was a bunch of guys from work. And I told them that I do a podcast and that I enjoy professional wrestling. And they all laughed at me and they all made fun of me. And they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you like that fake crap. And, you know, on and on and on. Well, we're there for a couple days, right? So as the time goes on, they start to be like, oh yeah, so what's Stone Cold up to now? Oh, what's John Cena up to now? You know, and I'm like, wait a minute, I thought you guys thought this was fake. So
yeah.
So what do you think about do you guys ever run into these closet fans and people who think that wrestling's not cool but yet secretly you know they're watching wrestling.
Yeah. Grew up with quite a few of them as I was growing up as a young teenager and everything. I was the kid that was really into wrestling. So I grew up in, like, the Attitude Era. So my wrestling was the Austin 316 shirts, the NWO Wolfpack shirts, and I was wearing that stuff to school and constantly ridiculed for it. But now that
you and me both.
Now that I'm hosting my own podcast along with Leo, and we've got what I feel a pretty decent following, now I'm getting people saying how cool it is that I'm doing that. I mean, I still get ridiculed, like, that stuff's fake. You remember that, right? And I'm like, well, yeah, but it is what it is.
It's almost like because how it's portrayed, you know, as a combat sport, yet the outcomes are predetermined, that turns people off for some reason.
Right.
But they don't take into account what all these people are doing in the ring. Like, that takes a lot, you know, more than any combat sport.
Yeah, and I also grew up on boxing in the 80s when Mike Tyson was really huge and Evander Holyfield. And I used to always hear people say how fake it is. And I was like, you ever think that one of those pro boxing matches wasn't paid for before it ever started? So you can't tell me that everything's not predetermined.
Oh, jeez. So, Don King was great at manipulating what was going on in the ring. That was
exactly. Yeah. So everything's fake to an extent. It's what you want to believe and how you want to suspend your disbelief.
Well, you know, guys, there's one thing.
Go ahead.
The Avengers and Batman aren't real either. I don't know if you guys knew that, but they're not.
What?
I know.
Okay.
I know it's hard.
Why are you ruining it for us? So let's get into the meat and potatoes here, guys. There is a lot of wrestling going on right now. We talked. So Dave has a couple of relatives. One fellow, Chris. He helps co-host the podcast sometimes. He has his own little segment. And Dave has a nephew, Kelly, that is from the Memphis area, and he's a huge wrestling fan. And we all talk about wrestling. And the last podcast we talked about so much wrestling right now. You've got NWA. You've got NXT. You've got the WWE, you have Impact, you have, of course, the newcomer AEW. So what do you guys find yourselves migrating to as far as – and myself, I don't have a lot of time. I mean, it's 7:30 and I'm still driving home from work. So naturally, I'm not going to probably watch a lot of wrestling tonight. So what, Cody, do you find yourself focusing most of your energy on?
Well, I can tell you right now what I'm currently doing, which is on my tablet in front of me. I have Wednesday Night Dynamite on, so if that kind of answers my question, that's what I've been doing the last 4 weeks. It's brought me back to where pro wrestling used to be in a way. I guess the shock value of it kind of – I was a big WCW guy when Nitro was on, so this kind of takes – the feelings back to that a little bit. And plus all the talent that I currently really endorse and really like is there. Not saying I don't like any of the other things. I just, my attention is solely based on AEW right now. That's
so Leo, what are you going for these days? What do you focus what's your wrestling right now?
So I'm pretty scattered, but I'm kind of – so I brought up on the pod not too long ago is if there's good things going on in WWE or things that they've changed, because if you watch WWE regularly, they've gone through a huge transformation here in the last couple months with NXT, with Raw, with SmackDown, kind of some of the things they're doing. And not directly, but indirectly, a lot of that is linked to what AEW is doing. And I think it's kind of they're being forced to change in a world that they've dominated up to this point. So, in my opinion, I think AEW has to be successful in order to continue this among all the companies. I watch AEW as much as I can, and it keeps me entertained. The two-hour program, there's still minor gripes here and there. NXT, I think that's top-notch wrestling, but I don't watch it live. I'll watch it afterwards. And then Raw and SmackDown, if there's stuff, I always read up on it. So all wrestling, all New Japan, MLW Impact, I'll follow up on it. I might not watch it all, but if something of interest happened, I'll try to pull it up and watch it afterward.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Dave, I know where you and I, what you and I have been enjoying lately.
Mm-hmm.
Tell Cody and Leo what you've been focusing most of your energy on, because I'll follow up with mine after you.
Okay, guys, I work very early in the morning. I mean, I get up every morning at 4:15 to go to my job, and so I don't get to watch a lot of stuff live. So I use that DVR a lot. Sometimes I use the YouTube to get the highlights. But I'll tell you right now, it's only 3 weeks old, but that YouTube, Facebook, the NWA Power Show, to me so far, is the most enjoyable wrestling I have watched in a long time. Tim Storm, Nick Aldis, Eli Drake. They've got some really good tag teams. Mr. Anderson is there. Colt Cabana. They have a better women's division, I think, than the guys at All Elite. And then there's James E. Cornette. The guy is hilarious on commentary. I was laughing my head off watching it today on YouTube. I'm just real impressed what NWA is doing. I'm even considering purchasing their pay-per-view, that the next one they're doing from Atlanta. I love the WWE. I love what they're doing at All Elite. I've watched MLW. I watched Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. Tried to catch a little bit of Championship Wrestling from Arizona, because our friend Manny Lemons is down there a lot. But NWA Power, man, that is fun. If you guys haven't watched that yet, pull it up on YouTube. It is a blast.
So I was actually watching Catching Up earlier, and I like it. What I found different on that is just it feels like a totally different presentation than anything else.
It is. It really is. Now, guys, I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, as Zane very well knows. I grew up when Memphis wrestling was the wrestling. They called it ECW before ECW, because they did some crazy stuff there. But they did a live wrestling show every Saturday morning from WMC Channel 5, and it was live for 90 minutes, and there was like 75 to 80% of all the households in Memphis, Tennessee, nearly a million people in that market, that were tuned in on Saturday mornings watching wrestling. They sold out the Mid-South Coliseum in Memphis, I think it was like 15 years in a row, and they did that weekly. 9 to 10,000 people a week would show up for a weekly show at the Mid-South Coliseum. That's what I grew up on, and that's why I love it. I love it.
Yeah. So Dave, educate us young fellas. One thing that I've been noticing a lot, because I find myself lately with the lack of time. So like Sunday, you know, things are a little chill, a little lax. Everybody was napping around the house and stuff. And so I pulled up the tablet, and I was able to watch NWA Power. It's only an hour.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it. But so it's an hour. And then I was like, hey, I got a little more time. So I threw on Championship Wrestling in Hollywood. It's only an hour. Just quality wrestling, good stuff, good stories. One thing they kept mentioning on NWA was a lot of the talent stuff kept saying, we heard studio wrestling was back.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to be a part of studio wrestling. What does that mean? Why do they keep saying that?
Well, studio wrestling is more intimate. You know, at WMC in Memphis, when they were doing it from Channel 5 Studios, they would be lucky to be able to squeeze in 100 people into the little studio. I think at the Atlanta studio where they're doing this, they'll get 200 to 300, kind of like, you know, when you go to an indie show. But the production values are pretty good on the NWA. They tend to have a little bit more feuding. And then in studio wrestling, it seems like there's more run-ins and there's more short matches, 5 to 10 minutes, but they're telling an incredible story. I've noticed on the NWA, the promos that these wrestlers cut are very intense and very almost heartfelt. You can just see the passion they have for the business, and dang it, I like it.
So some of those promos they do is kind of where they do it in front of the audience, where you would typically see some of these backstage promos where you don't really get a reaction. And then I seen one earlier where they kind of have to, based off of what the crowd is doing, they'll react to that, which mm-hmm. is always nice to see.
I remember like World Championship Wrestling when it first kind of started, in a way, when it was still kind of studio wrestling, when a lot of it was at Center Stage in Atlanta, and that WCW Saturday night stuff where they would, you know, that studio type wrestling that I grew up on when I was a little kid, not the big arena type stuff like the WWF was accustomed to back in the day. But this new revamped NWA feel with the old school feel with the new school talent with Aldis and Eli Drake and that's just, it definitely does have money written all over it. And I have tuned in the first 2 weeks. I have not watched the third week yet, but it's on my bucket list of stuff to get caught up on because I'm digging it as well.
That's awesome. See, Cody, you and I sound like we got a lot in common. Hi, Dave. How many times do I mention, you know, like championship wrestling in Hollywood? I said it reminds me of the Saturday program from WCW.
Right.
I mentioned that several times.
With Gordon Solie at the microphone, and then you had the Four Horsemen, the Fabulous mm-hmm. Freebirds, Hands of Stone, Ronnie Garvin, the Rock and Roll Express, who are wrestling in the NWA now. But it was just a little bit different feel about it. I think it's different enough from the other product, which is fine. I'm not cutting down what's going on in the WWE or the All Elite, but I think it's going to find itself a very loyal audience, and that's how you build if you can find loyalty in your audience. And right now, I haven't seen hardly any really negative comments on social media about the NWA Power. It really is a good program to watch.
It's an hour show, as you guys mentioned, and sometimes less is more.
Yes.
You have a 3-hour Raw, you have an abundance of talent, and especially nowadays with smartphones and everything else going on, we have, how do I say it? It's hard to keep our attention. And so I think with them doing an hour show, I don't know if you guys ever seen Lucha Underground, but it was the same way.
Whatever
came on TV mattered. You weren't going to have any filler segments like they do on Raw or any of that other stuff. Whatever was on mattered, and it mattered to the wrestlers and the wrestling fans.
We'll be back with more with the guys from Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast, but up next, it's Chris Evans. Yeah, we're going to talk some trash with the original Trash Head.
It's Chris on the match. Match.
I'm lost of words.
The original Trash Head, Chris Evans.
If a guy didn't get cracked open, he wasn't really wrestling.
Chris.
On the mat.
You can make people sit their butts in those seats. Your box office.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
Hey, we'd like to thank Leo and Cody from the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast for joining us. We'll be back with them in just a few minutes. And also that guy named Zane. I guess we need to say, okay, Zane, you're part of this podcast too, you know.
Yeah. Well, Hey, thanks, guys, for being part of the podcast. It's really good. And, hey, anybody that really wants to hear these guys. Come on, jump on their podcast a little bit. Listen to what they got to say. They're very knowledgeable. Thanks, guys, for being on the podcast. Really appreciate it.
You know what I found interesting? They're kind of like us. They're, you know, they don't say that they don't claim to be experts. They're fans, yeah. And I think that's a refreshing thing in professional wrestling podcast. Anyway, you got so many podcasts out there. Oh, it's only my way. I can't believe these stupid idiots are doing. You know, and we do that to a point, but I think we preface it better than they do. So, Chris, I specifically wanted to talk to you about one thing. We talk about a little bit with the guys from Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast, but how good is this NWA Power Show? How good is this thing?
I'll tell you this right now. I've stopped watching the WWE, and I only have watched NWA Power. It is a breath of fresh air because it's not 3 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
And there's hardly no. The only thing that I have a problem with NW Power is this: the commercials. They're so corny.
Even the Austin Idol one.
I love the Austin Idol one. That was perfect. Now the one that says he has a restaurant in Paducah, Kentucky.
Tony Falk. Yes.
Yes, and I tried to look. You know, dummy me. I looked it up to see if it was real. I did. Uh-huh. I looked it up to see if it was real, and it's not. It's not real. But he mentions Paducah, and I went, wait a minute. But I didn't see anything there. But NWA Power is perfect. I like it.
I
love it.
It's incredible, isn't it? It's just fun. But by the way, you know who else is from Paducah, Kentucky?
Oh, it's the one from AEW?
No. Who? A WWE superstar.
Oh, we do. Which one?
Ricochet.
That's right.
Yeah, he is from Paducah, Kentucky. Now, those who might be listening don't know about Paducah, Kentucky. It's a fairly good-sized community. But right across the river from Paducah is Metropolis, Illinois. Yes, the home of Superman. Mm. So I never think of Paducah without thinking about Metropolis because I'm a big comic book geek. But back to the NWA. Let's talk more about the power.
The broadcast team that they have is perfect. I mean, you've got Jim Cornette. And, what's the other guy's name, too? See, that's all I know is Jim.
We'll just call him that other guy, okay?
That other guy, yes.
That other guy. Well, they have another guy named Dave. I know his name is Dave.
You've got the NWA champion, the North American champion. You've got all these wrestlers like Colt Cabana, and you've got Aaron Stevens. He's there now. I was surprised that he was there.
Oh, he's hilarious, isn't he?
Yes, he is, and now he's got his new movie coming out. I thought that was absolutely hilarious. I loved it.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's a breath of fresh air when you've got only an hour show and not 3 hours. And you don't have to watch any commercials because on YouTube, you know that the commercials are going to be just a few minutes, and then you can just skip right through them. Bam. Come on, let's go.
Yeah, if you watch it on YouTube, you know, because I started watching on Facebook Live the other night, then something happened, so I had to go back to YouTube. And YouTube, where they take their breaks, is where YouTube inserts their commercials. Mm-hmm. And then after just a few seconds, it says, skip the ad. Bam-o, yeah, you know, because usually
you're
their ads are dull.
But I really, you know what, they keep dropping names a lot on the NWA. Like, they dropped Ric Flair's name, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Harley Race, Lou Fez. But it's good wrestling. It's not this... Oh, how can you say it? It's not cartoonish.
Yeah.
To this, it's real. I mean, but I have one question. The Rock and Roll Express won the tag team titles. How far does this go back? When did the Rock and Roll have the titles?
Well, they record like 6 weeks in advance.
They made it. Yeah, you're right.
It's at least 4 weeks, if not 6 weeks in advance. So we still haven't come to that program yet where that's going to apparently going to happen. Now, there's some other news about the Rock and Roll Express. Let's go ahead and drop that there. You posted that on the Turnbuckle Trash Facebook page.
Amazing as it is, the Rock and Roll Express are going to be the ones that give the brand new AEW Tag Team Championship to whoever wins the tournament. And it was kind of shocking. I mean, here you got... The Rock and Roll Express has just got inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame, and now they're in AEW giving titles away.
I think it's cool.
I think it is, too.
Now, I have no problem. Robert and Ricky evidently do not have a Legends contract with the WWE, which I think is awesome, because if you remember when I talked to Jerry the King Lawler at the Fan X, I had said to him, you know, I tried to go through the right channels with the WWE to get an interview with him. And I said, I understand you're under a Legends contract and you have to get permission. He says, I'm not under a Legends contract. So I'm still efforting trying to get Jerry the King Lawler on our podcast. I hope it will happen, but I've had to put a little delay because of some health concerns that I'm having now. So just to let everyone know, I've had recent wrist and elbow surgery, and I'm facing a fairly serious neck surgery in the next couple of weeks. So if I can squeeze it in between all this, we'll try to get those on for you. Okay.
Well, let me ask you this: what is your favorite? Who is your favorite in the NWA right now?
Oh, you know, there's so much fun. Royce Isaac, part of that tag team.
Champion.
I've always really enjoyed his work. I love Eli Drake. I have been Drake fan for so long.
It looks like he's come out of his shell a lot now. I mean, he looks better than he ever has.
Oh, he's got a great look about him now.
Yeah.
And when he does that Eli Drake and the crowd goes along with him.
Oh, yeah. It's perfect.
Tim Storm. I mean, 53 years old. That man is solid as a brick. And I was watching a segment with him. You know who he reminds me of? A lot is Hands of Stone, Ronnie Garvin.
I would have never, you know what? You're right. I never thought about that.
Very similar build, an older wrestler, really get in there and move and hang with the younger guys.
But you know, I really don't know anything about Tim Storm. I've really never heard of this man before until I knew he held the NWA championship. But other than that, I don't know anything about his career.
Evidently, he's a school teacher. And I'm not sure exactly where he's from, but he's been wrestling on the independent circuit for a long time. He's done a lot of stuff in the South. He's wrestled against Jerry Lawler a couple of times. And then Josephus, who's also a star on the NWA, is from Tennessee. And I'm not just saying that they're Southern wrestlers, because you've got the champion, the national treasure. He's out there, Nick Aldis. And he's from England, and then that girl that's with him, Camille.
The insurance policy.
I'm not trying to be sexist, but I'm going to be sexist. That is the best looking woman in professional wrestling, and Zane tells me that her boyfriend is Braun Strowman.
What a lucky man!
That is a lucky dude, man, because she is. She is smoking hot. I have never seen her wrestle. I understand she can get in the ring. So I'm looking forward, because the non-sexist part of me enjoys the female wrestling too.
I understand that.
Good looking woman.
Yeah, that's something to turn over and go, oh, really? Me?
Okay, ooh, yeah, thing. Baby.
Then all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, this is not okay. But it's a good thing. I like her, but she doesn't say anything, and she's supposed to be this. It was good. The storyline that they have is good. I like it. But everything is good except for, I mean, I'm not a big Colt Cabana fan.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Colt Cabana fan, but, and Mr. Anderson, or whatever the heck they're calling him now.
Anderson.
He's okay. I mean, I don't mind that. Uh-huh. He's all right.
Uh huh.
But, one of your favorites, Storm.
Oh, James Storm. Tennessee Cowboy. Ooh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Now, that's a good one right there. I really didn't expect him to be with the NWA, but it fits him perfectly.
It does.
Absolutely perfectly. But the NWA is good. I love it.
And, you know, I noticed that this was their third week. Now, I'm not saying this is going to be the end-all to end-all, because, you know, there's only 3 weeks in. What's going to happen in the future? I'm very hopeful for them. Because I'll tell you this right now, I think you would agree with me. As much as I enjoy All Elite, and as much as I enjoy NXT, right now I get more excited for the NWA as a wrestling fan.
I have to agree with you, because as soon as I knew that the NWA was fixing to play that night, I put everything down. I went outside, put my earphones in, and I started watching it. I was like, right. I'm addicted to it now.
It's really good.
Because it reminds you of the old studio, the old wrestling. It feels like I'm on I'm watching Channel 5.
Right. Yeah.
So it looks like I'm watching Channel 5 in Memphis. So basically, I mean, it's good. I love it.
Yeah, it's very well done. And I'm going to tell you one thing.
Uh-huh.
James E. Cornette.
Oh my gosh.
I guess I'm gushing here. I'm a fanboy. I've always been a Cornette fan, but his work as a commentator is top notch. He's knowledgeable, and he throws in these one-liners that absolutely floor me sometimes. I laugh out loud because of the little one-liners. Now, Jerry the King Lawler does some, but I don't think that he's as knockdown, drag-out funny as James E. Cornette. What about you?
Oh, my gosh. Every time I hear Jim's voice on NWA, and then I watch his reactions when the wrestlers get near him, and he basically almost diving over the desk. But you know what? It's fun that way. I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it that the wrestlers are actually having contact with the announcers, and it's something where you can actually hear them do a promo, and their promos don't take 5 hours.
They don't open up with a 15-minute promo. Raw.
Yeah, a 15-minute promo. I mean, Nick Aldis with his NWA championship, he looking like the second coming of Ric Flair. It's just perfect. If they got it down pat, they know how to give things, and they know how to take it away a little bit. The storylines are perfect.
Yeah,
I like it.
The man is good, you got to admit.
Well, he's a master on the mic. I mean, this man is – okay – With all his that he has ever done, don't you think that he cuts one probably the best promos?
Oh, he and Paulie Dangerously are masters at they're just masters at cutting a promo. Oh.
And do you know that who's been watching the NWA now is The Rock?
Oh, good! I love it.
The Rock, yeah. The Rock says it reminded him of his Memphis days.
Yep.
He tweeted Jim Cornette. Jim said, look, if you ever want tickets or you want me to sneak you in the back, he goes, no problem. I'll get you back there.
Yeah.
It would be awesome to see The Rock, but you know he's contractually obligated. That will never happen. But who knows?
I don't think he has a Legends contract or anything like that. I mean, he's too big to have something like that. They probably do a show-by-show with him. So I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't show up sometime.
It would be nice to see. I mean, him on the NWA.
Oh, you think Vince would kind of blow a gasket there?
Vince would break every piece of furniture in his house and then go rent more to break some more. yeah, I think it's about time that we got a breath of fresh air. I mean, the AEW is doing it. I'm getting kind of tired of the AEW marks. That's getting on my nerves.
Oh,
big
me
time.
Too. Yeah.
I'm tired of it. I was going to go on a ramble here about it, but I'm not going to now. I'll do that later. But AEW is doing fine. Last night's show I thought was wasn't that good. And they lost over 1 million views still, but they still beat NXT.
Yeah.
So, but you know what? The NWA, I love it on YouTube. It's not 4 hours or 3 hours long.
It's 1 hour of very good professional wrestling. Now, yeah. I'll tell you this also. We've been talking about James E. Cornette, and he has a really good podcast. But just the warning, the language is incredible. I mean, I bet if I took his entire podcast and knocked out every profanity, a 2-hour podcast would be down to about 10 minutes.
Funny stuff. He's got a podcast that I'm still on because it's 5 hours long.
Woo!
And every other word out of this man's mouth is either F, G, or something.
Uh-huh.
But he makes great points about professional wrestling.
Yes, he
makes great points. And a lot of people, like the one professional, well, he's on the indie circuit, told him he hopes that he dies a painful and slow death. And he made his own T-shirt with Jim Cornette's likeness on it. And now he's being sued by James E. Cornette.
Oh, yeah, I heard him talking about that. I didn't know the context. Because he's using James, his likeness to make money.
Yeah, but here's the funny part. Now that the lawyer is starting on this guy, James E. Cornette said, you know what? I've got a great idea. He says, I'm going to sell that same T-shirt on my website, and all the proceeds go to a child's home.
Oh, good for him.
It goes to a children's home. So,
good for Jim.
But the shirt is grotesque.
Oh, really?
It is. It's got knives in his skull. He's got bleeding eyes. His mouth has been duct taped. His eyes are duct taped.
Oh, jeez.
It's disgusting. But
that's in poor taste, man.
It says words. Yeah, it's got some words on it. But you know what? He said, I don't care. He goes, it's a good procedure. He goes, I can give it the money back to where it needs to go. And there's only 1,000 of them that he could sell, and that's it. So there's 1,000 shirts.
I'm impressed. Now, I will also say this. In his podcast, several times, he gets very political. And I know you and I are, with James E. Cornette, are not in the same realm as he is for politically.
No.
But you know what? He has that right to make that statement. But when he makes the statement that if you support Donald Trump in any way, I don't want you listening to this podcast, it makes me want to listen more because he is so... His delivery is spot on, and he speaks so passionately, even if I disagree with him. So, Mr. Cornette, I'm going to tell you this right now. I will continue to listen to you, even though you and I might disagree. And I'm not the biggest Trump supporter out there, not like two of my co-hosts here. But I'm talking about you and Zane too.
Well, I mean, if I was gonna go to the NWA reunion and he was gonna be there, I did have my Trump shirt and hat. I was gonna see if I could have a picture, but I think that tennis racket would have probably been around my back,
and it would have been loaded with a brick.
yes, it would have been.
But yeah, really, you know, I am. I would recommend, you know, if you get a chance to listen to James E. Cornette's podcast, it is fun. And, you know, we want as many people to listen to ours as possible. But he did make a really good point, and I think it was not this current one, but the one before. And I just took a little snippet of that and actually sent it to some professional wrestling friends I have. And it was talking about making a promo, that a lot of times these wrestlers will watch tape and tape and tape and see how the moves are, but they forget that not necessarily making a promo, but it's the show business aspect. He quoted Dutch Mantel as saying, it's inflection when you're doing a promo. You can do it four different ways and give it four different meanings. So, you know, and that's right up my alley for what I do working in radio. You know, you can go, there's four different ways to do four different voice inflections, or four different ways to do four different inflections. It changes the meaning a lot. And I'm hoping my friends got a chance to listen to that. And I just thought it was wonderful advice from James E. Cornette about how to cut a really good promo and then working in the ring. So, good stuff.
Well, yeah, the man knows what he's doing. I mean, when he was working with Ring of Honor, and I was watching this one about these kids that are going from the indies to the pros, and he was doing the promo work, and one guy, you know, just cut the promo so well, and he says, Goosebumps, that's perfect. He said, you got yourself over. And the man knows what he's talking about.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, he does. But he's overzealous a lot. The man gets overzealous. He gets ticked off. And if it's not his way, he has a problem with it. But I'm sorry. This man has more knowledge of professional wrestling than half of the WWE does.
You know, I think you and I were discussing this on one of the segments of Chris on the Mat. About a year and a half ago, we were talking about if we were going to start a wrestling promotion, who was that first person you'd go after? And I said James E. Cornette, because of his knowledge. And I think that you hit the nail on the head. Maybe he is too passionate sometimes. Some people think he has old-fashioned ideas, but that's not bad. You know, sometimes going old school and then tweaking it to new school is the way to go.
Yeah, but he was because he was one of the greatest tag teams. Not one of the greatest tag teams.
Yeah, I'd say top 10.
Was the Midnight Express.
Exactly.
And he's the one that made the Midnight Express. He was the mouthpiece.
Yep.
And those guys did the ring. But you know what? He's been on MLW, NWA, WCW, WCCW. He's been everywhere.
Yeah, and he helped form the Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. So, I mean, come on.
And basically, that's where he started as a photographer,
yes.
As a teenager. He was taking pictures at the Louisville shows,
yep.
And then he would come down to Memphis to take pictures. So it's kind of a similar path as Jerry Lawler with having a little bit of an artistic flair and then worked that into a career in professional wrestling. I am a fan. Yep. James E. Cornette, I am a fan. I'm a fanboy. And we might not agree politically, but I got nothing but respect for you, man. I'll tell you that. Nothing but respect.
I need to get you a shirt that says I'm a Cornette guy.
Oh.
I need to get you that shirt. Yeah, I'm a Cornette guy. He's got one of those now.
Oh, that's cool. That is so cool.
I like it. So.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Let's move on now. I wanted to talk to you also. All Elite is doing fine. I am impressed with them. I enjoy the program. Christopher Daniels was injured 2 weeks ago in a very nasty botch that the Pentagon, and you know, and I'm not going to blame Pentagon with this because I think Christopher Daniels didn't put his head up high enough in the package pile driver, but it could have been very serious. Now, I saw some people on social media, it's a work. No, if you watch the videotape, you can actually hear Christopher Daniels saying, I can't feel my arms. And that's when the referee threw up the X's. So he's doing well. Last night on All Elite, they did say that he had a stinger and would be out 6 to 8 weeks before he could come back. So we wish the fallen angel the best. But I think
he's good.
Yeah, he is dang good. Let's talk a little bit about some of these missteps that the major promotion is making in the WWE. And I'm going to start with none other than Seth Rollins. The Architect.
Man, oh my gosh.
What is he thinking?
I don't know. His little comment that he made about Vince McMahon, I think that's going to come back and bite him.
Yeah, not letting him wear white, and then he's arguing with people on social media. Do you think he's I'm just going to throw this, and I have no knowledge. I'm going to throw this out. Do you think Seth might be trying to do something to have Vince say, okay, that's enough, you're released, so he can go off and do what he wants a little bit more creatively?
Well, he has been, you know, slamming Kenny Omega, telling him that he's in the minor leagues.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of weird how Seth has been doing things lately, and his verbiage on Twitter, and he's just, I don't know. If you're not that dang happy, then, you know what, ask for your release, but they're not going to give it to you.
Oh, no, not at all.
There's no way, not the way AEW is, there's no way they're going to get rid of it.
Oh, no,
they'll back up truckloads of money.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what he's trying to do. Who knows? I'm sure he has a plan. I don't know if this is a work, if he's trying to get more money, but it's a misstep because of everything that's happened with he and the Fiend, Bray Wyatt.
Oh, gosh.
As much
bad.
As I love Bray Wyatt, this is turning into not a great program.
It's not, because they keep doing dark matches after the show goes off, and Seth keeps beating Bray Wyatt.
Yeah. They did one this past Monday night on Raw. They did a steel cage match, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. and Seth won again.
Dang.
Okay, so are you saying that in Crown Jewel, that the Fiend is going to win? Is he going to? I mean, I even put it on the Facebook page. You're going to lose to Seth Rollins at Crown Jewel. Vince, what are you doing to me? You're burying this angle that y'all built up. Okay, fine.
And
if
it could be
screw up.
Yeah, and I honestly think this is a complete misstep on the WWE's part. And I don't, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
Nope.
But I mean, when you have people cheering Bray Wyatt, and they've been trying to set him up as this villain, but they have forgot that now the wrestling fan has changed from cheering for the good guy. If they have that anti-hero, they're going to cheer for that. Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, as he started becoming a real big star, anti-hero. The Road Warriors were anti-heroes. The Undertaker became an anti-hero. Kane, I don't think they've remembered this, that they set this up and they were thinking this was going to be, you know, the bad guy of the century. And then people started cheering him because of that anti-hero.
Because as soon as you hear the Firefly Funhouse, I can't talk today. as soon as you hear that music, people start cheering.
Oh, and I wear my shirt. I love wearing my Firefly Funhouse shirt. I love it.
Well, I mean, if you wanted a good gimmick, this was it. This was the gimmick. But I think what should happen is, instead of having this match, if it was me booking it, I would have Bray sitting in that room that just caught on fire, and he's holding a picture, and all you see is red hair. And he's rocking back and forth, and he just starts, he'll just start singing Yowie Wowie. And then come to find out, it's Becky.
Wow.
It's Becky. Now the tables are turning. See, that would make it interesting, but now you're turning him, I don't know.
Or having holding Becky in the ruins of the Firefly Funhouse, and you know she's like she's burned a little bit, singing, he's got the whole world in his hands. That gave me chills, Bubba. I'm not kidding.
That would be like a nice murder mystery, and you see it, and people would actually probably be like, oh my lord. They just crossed this line. Yeah, they need to. Yeah. That's what they need to do.
That would be
yes, that was perfect.
Another angle would be to have Seth and Bray Wyatt wrestle in Crown Jewel or something, you know, or someplace. Not the Fiend, Bray Wyatt. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then as Seth is starting to win, Bray goes under the ring, comes out with the mask. You know,
that's even better. I like that.
It seems to me that would be a better angle than have him against the Fiend. But we're not the writers. No. And if they want to steal my idea, I don't even want to have residuals here. I mean, you can steal my idea, WWE. Go ahead. I don't care. I think it'd be a better angle for what's going on. So
at 10%, please. At 10%.
I would just like to have a daggum interview or have your people at the main office acknowledge my existence when I go through the proper channels asking for an interview. You don't even give me the time of day. That still ticks me off, WWE. Sorry.
Yeah, I can understand that. Uh-huh. I mean, WWE is just too big for the britches.
Yeah.
So that's all there is to it.
Okay, now, there's also a couple of other missteps that I am seeing. And one of those involves Braun Strowman this boxer, Tyson Fury. What do you think?
It is the dumbest thing that I have ever seen. Even Tyson Fury's manager has begged Tyson Fury not to do this. Don't do this. But the payout at Crown Jewel is going to be big.
Oh, man, we're talking Saudi Arabian money, man.
Yes.
And I'd take it, you know, if I was a good athlete and I had been trained a little bit and I knew that what was going to happen, if that kind of money, I'd take it, man. I would.
Yeah, the payout is going to be huge, but I'm sorry, this does not interest me whatsoever.
No, I have no interest.
I don't care to see it.
Yeah.
I mean, when he hit Cesaro that one time, and God bless Cesaro for taking somewhat of a boxer's punch. Mm-hmm. But dang, no, I just don't. Why are you bringing other athletes into this that don't belong? I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. And this doesn't make, nobody likes it. No one cares for it. I don't even think Braun likes this.
But they've screwed over Braun Strowman so bad over the last couple of years. I mean, I go back and back. 2 years ago, it should have been Strowman and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. They screwed that up. And then they put him with that stupid little boy. Don't get me started on him. Not Nicholas. No, I'm not going to get started on Nicholas anymore. And well, then,
that's understandable.
Yeah, and then you've got Brock Lesnar, Mr. Boring in the Bank, against Cain Velasquez. A former MMA. At least he has been wrestling. He has done some AAA stuff down in Mexico, and he has been training with Rey Mysterio. At least there, that part's there. But they're going as Kane coming in to take out Brock, and they're talking about this scar that Brock has on his cheek. I'm going, that was 9 years ago, guys, and Brock Lesnar was suffering from diverticulitis at the time, which is very serious.
Yes, it is. But, I mean, Kane's the one that put the scar there. I watched the Kane and Brock match in the UFC. It was on Facebook, and I went back and watched it, and Brock was a heck of a lot bigger than he is now. I wonder why.
Oh, I wonder why, too, yeah.
The needle.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but I don't know. This is not going to be it. We all know who's going to win the match. It ain't going to be Kane. We all know it's going to be Brock. They're not going to give somebody to just walk into the WWE and hand them the title.
I hope
who
not.
Who have they ever done that to? Nobody.
Well, now, take it back.
Okay, really? Who?
Hulk Hogan. When he into the WWF at the time, Iron Sheik had just, I think a couple of weeks earlier, had beaten Bob Backlund. Hulk Hogan comes in, takes him on, first time champion.
Okay, well, I need to go back and throw my wrestling card in the trash because I was messed up.
I call it the Dave Denton Book of Useless Knowledge, and it was open right then and there, yeah.
I love it. But you are correct. That is right.
So I'm a little concerned about, once again, Crown Jewel. Crown Jewel, this is what, their fourth event in Saudi Arabia?
Fourth event, same results are going to happen.
Because they haven't been good yet.
It's going to be bad. The only thing I'm looking forward to is the 20-man battle royal for the number one contender for the U.S. title. I'm looking forward to that.
They're going to do that? I didn't know that, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're going to do a 20-man battle royal for the number one contendership for AJ's title.
I see that now. So, yeah, I'm looking for, and I'm kind of looking forward to this tag team thing, the tag team turmoil. That could be fun, but it does have, the Lucha House Party.
Oh, yes.
they're about as much fun as watching Brock Lesnar, as far as I'm concerned.
That's so true, too.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that.
Nope.
Yeah, but that could be fun. I mean, if you can get the Viking Raiders and the New Day. Now, Xavier Woods probably will not be there because he's legitimately injured. So it'll be Kofi and Big E, which is a good combination. The Viking Raiders, heavy machinery. It could turn out to be a very entertaining tag team turmoil match. And then that 20-man battle royal.
Well, you know, they've got more people going than I've ever seen. More wrestlers are going over to Saudi Arabia than the last time.
Saudi money, baby. Saudi money.
Saudi money. Yep, the oil money. Time for that oil money.
And then, but you do notice there's no women wrestlers.
Yeah, but Vince is working on that as much as he can. Vince, you're not going to get it. They're not going to allow it. There's no way.
I hope one of these days they can get that done.
What's...
I really do. I don't think it's, I mean, it's not going to happen for a while.
Yeah. But
when was it?
It's going to be kind of hard for them to wrestle in the parka.
Yeah.
In that whole thing. I mean, we won't be able to see. It'd be like John Cena. We can't see you.
Well, a couple of years ago, Sasha Banks, and I'm trying to remember who she wrestled. They were in one of the Gulf Coast states, and they actually did wrestle, but they had full body costumes on. And we had the quote from Sasha Banks. She was so touched that she was one of the first wrestlers, female wrestlers,
good.
to do that.
I'm glad that she was able to. So that's great.
I'm hoping that something will happen that will be allowed in the future, because Crown Jewel is going to happen. It's going to happen twice a year. The Saudi prince loves it. The Saudi people love it. A week before the event, they had a parade, and they had the Undertaker there, and they went all out. That float that the Undertaker won was incredible.
Well, have you seen what they did for the Undertaker? They made him his own belt. They made him his own belt. So, I mean, is Taker going?
He might be there, but I don't think he is. I don't think he can. I don't think contractually he's supposed to be there, but you never know.
Okay.
You just never know. Well. You know, maybe he'll show up and in that battle royal or something, you know?
Oh, he might. Yeah. I mean, but who knows? I mean, he's under a contract lifetime now. He can't go nowhere. So, And the one thing, we forgot one thing.
What's that?
The Team Flair versus Team Hogan.
Oh, I was hoping you'd forget that.
I can't help myself.
Oh man.
You got the Woo train versus the Brother train. And hopefully they'll meet each other head on. So that's going to be disgusting. I'm not looking forward to it. Even Seth is not on the team.
No,
so.
he's off the team because he's taking on Bray. But
yeah.
You know it was because of the Saudi prince. He wanted to see Rick. He wanted to see Hogan. So that's, I mean, we're putting things in perspective here, okay?
Well, he also wanted to see Roddy Piper, too, but it's hard to dig him up and see if we can get somebody to do it.
I know, he's done that with a couple. He wanted the Ultimate Warrior one time. They said he wanted, and we know the Warrior's worm food now, so that was cruel. That was bad. But
yeah, well, go ahead.
We got to put this in perspective for the Crown Jewel. Honestly, you know, it is what it's going to be. I'm just hoping it's not as bad as they have been in the past. These Crown Jewel events, and it's going to be on Halloween afternoon, 1 o'clock your time. That's on the East Coast. I'm in the Mountain Time Zone, so it's 11 o'clock my time. So I'm off for lunch at about that time. So I'm going to try to possibly watch a little bit of it live if I possibly can. But the radio station I work for is doing a special Halloween show for 6 hours, and you know who I got. You know who gets to set that up, don't you?
I think you drew the lucky straw.
Yeah. So if you on Halloween afternoon from 3 o'clock Mountain Time until 9 o'clock Mountain Time, if you want some Halloween fun, good spooky stuff, good funny Halloween comedy, it's going to be on cool1039.com. We call it Ghoul 1039. Get it?
Sweet.
Cool.
I like it.
Ghoul.
I like it.
Yeah. We're Ghoul. Clever guys in radio.
Yeah, all right. But, it's been interesting. It's been a very interesting time. So.
And I got to say, welcome back, Tommaso Ciampa.
I love
me some Tommaso Ciampa. I really do.
Yeah, but I love that heel turn last night.
I haven't watched it yet. Don't spoil it for me.
Not going to. Sorry. I'm sorry. I thought you had caught up.
No, I think I know what it is because I think I read it or saw a little bit of it. So
okay, you did?
Yeah
well, I was not surprised.
Okay, so.
I was not surprised.
All right, so.
So that's something you can catch up on to right now.
Oh, man, there's so much wrestling, so much good wrestling to watch. And right now, I'm going to put this in order. I want to watch NWA Power number one. Okay. Then I want to watch NXT number two. And then I want to watch All Elite. Then I can watch SmackDown, and number five for me right now is Raw, to be honest with you. That's perfectly honest, and that's just me as a fan.
I'll have to agree with you. NWA Power to me is the number one wrestling. To me right now it is.
Yeah.
I would rather watch that than any other organization, except for Devotion. I like your stuff too, guys. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, you know, they don't have a program. But there is another one. There's two other ones that do have regular scheduled programs. That's Impact, which I don't have access to on my TV yet. And I'm trying to find a way to be able to watch that where it's not going to cost me an arm and a leg. And then ROH. I don't like what they've been doing with the ROH program. It's almost like at least 30 minutes of just promoting their little club there, the Honor Club, whatever it is called. And then they'll have just portions of a match. And then they can say, watch the rest of it. Well, you've already shown me the end, guy. Who cares? You know, why do I want to be an honor club and pay for that? So well, I'm not really like what they're doing with their TV right now.
Well, I will say this about Impact. Sami Callihan hit a lady, hit a woman, I don't know who it was, with a bottle. Smashed it over her head. We know it's all fake, but still, like you and I talked about a long time ago, this intergender stuff is getting for the birds, and TNA, I mean, Impact, is milking it for everything it's worth.
Yeah. And that ridiculous. was at the wedding reception.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, right.
And it was a quote accident with the machine, Brian Cage getting married, and Melissa Sanchez. That's who it was. The one that was used to be on Impact Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened about a month ago or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
but still, it was distasteful. Really? Come on. And now you've got a female that's going for the X Division title.
Yeah.
Are you serious? Come on, guys. This is not known. I don't know, but if that's what floats their boat, so be it.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't have a problem with the intergender. I think we've talked about that. And you know,
we have.
And that's fine. You know, and it's not a sexist thing for us. There's so much violence out there with men on women. And face it, most men are stronger than most women. And it's not saying, because I know of incidences where in a marriage there has been domestic violence and it's the woman on the man. I had a friend that had that happen to him, and it's a sad situation. Whichever way it is, it's a sad situation, and I wish they weren't doing this angle. That's all I'm going to say. If you decide to do it, just know I'm not in favor.
Neither am I. I mean, being working at a jail, I've seen too many wives beating the husband or the husband beating the wives, and I mean, being born in the South, I mean, I was raised to, you touch a woman, you're about as big as a piece of dirt. So, no, I can't stand it. I'm not going to watch it. Nothing against you, Impact, but you know what? It's not for me.
Yeah, I would agree there. So, any final comments here, Chris on the mat?
Well, my final comment is to all you marks of AEW, it's a marathon. That's all I've got to say. And if you don't like what I've got to say, turn your head, turn off your computer, and go back into your mom's basement. I'm sick of you. Good night, everybody. It's been a wonderful day, but AEW marks, I'm sick of you. I'm tired.
I thought you were gonna say turn your head and cough.
Well, if they do, I'm gonna kick them where they can cough.
Well, that's up to Joey Ryan to do that. So.
Well, Joey Ryan is just about as useless as Val Kilmer in Batman, but I don't know, he's pretty good.
And Joey has signed with Impact now.
Oh gosh.
Yes, he has. So
wonderful.
And then I want to give a congratulations real quick before we let you go. There's a wrestler I've been watching for about 2 years on the independent circuit out of Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. His name is Bateman. And evidently he has either been working with ROH or he has signed with Ring of Honor. He is a lot of fun to watch. And I'm hoping that he'll do extremely well. So
let's hope.
The best thing is there's so much product out there right now. As Zane says, it's a great time to be a wrestling fan.
Amen. So,
okay, we'll be back with more of Turnbuckle Trash in an interview with Cody and Leo from the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast. We'll do that next. You're listening to The Trash Heads and Turnbuckle Trash.